Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the first Johannine Law podcast. We're going to keep it short today and just talk about a really important issue that I think a lot of investors and entrepreneurs are dealing with, and that is the issue of the so-called safe note. The safe note has become probably one of the most popular ways to invest in growth startups that do expect to get some sort of venture capital funding or angel investing in the future. So to quickly explain what a safe note is a form of bridge financing, meaning it's meant to give the company some money or some liquidity in advance of a larger financing that will give it the permanent capital it needs, or rather the semi-permanent cap in the next 2 to 4 year timeline. But the safe note should give the company enough cash maybe for a 1 to 3 year timeline as the company grows and seeks out its main source of financing in the form of a real fundraising round. So what does the safe note say? What does it give to the investor in exchange for the money that the investor is giving the company? Well, it doesn't give the investor equity, and it doesn't give the investor debt. So what sort of instrument is the investor getting? The investor is getting an opportunity to get equity in the future automatically if certain events happen. What are those events? The main event that would probably happen would be the next fundraising round. Once we get to the next fundraising round, the safe investor will get the equity that was promised to them in the safe note. But before that, it usually means that the investor doesn't have any rights really whatsoever. So I'm going to break down each portion of the safe note, and I'm going to explain why it's important and what to look for when you review the safe note. So the first thing to identify when you look at a safe note is it a safe note for real, or is it a convertible note? So safe notes are based on convertible notes. Convertible notes start as debt, and then when the next financing happens, the debt converts to equity. So it's a convertible note. A safe note is kind of worse in some ways because you don't even have debt until the note converts into equity. You just have the right to acquire equity maybe later. So that's one big difference. But you have to keep in mind that if you just have a safe note and not a convertible note, there's no interest that's being accrued on the money that you invested. So that's the big advantage of it being a convertible note with real debt versus a safe note, which is just an opportunity to acquire equity later. So that's one thing you want to pay attention to at first. Are there any debt terms that, allow the investor to get some cash back, whether it be interest or just repayment of the principal at all while you wait for the note to convert into equity? Almost always the answer nowadays is no, especially when you're dealing with an agreement that's called a safe note. So that's the first thing you want to establish. Are there any debt features whatsoever? Usually the answer is no. So the next thing you want to look at is, what are the conversion triggers? What is going to cause this safe note to become real equity, where I actually own part of the company as an investor and I can get paid in the two ways that investors typically get paid? Number one, investors get paid through dividends or distributions, which means the company just gives cash to its owners from time to time once the company feels like it has enough money in its bank account. That's a dividend. That's taking money out of the company on a regular basis. The other way that companies, or rather investors, usually make money from the companies they invest in is the company sells itself, or the investor sells its shares in the company, hopefully for a profit. So that's the main way where you cash out in a big way, not just getting, a dividend, which is a small percentage of the money you invested, and hopefully you get that from time to time. But an exit is a big chunk payment that's going to determine what is your real return on investment. If you invested $100,000, the company sells and you get $200,000 for your shares, that would be a great return on investment. So you want to know what those triggers are. So the first trigger is always going to be the next financing round. And how is the next financing round defined? If the company gives out a tiny little bit of equity a few months after you get your safe, does that constitute a conversion event? I don't know. We'd have to look at the safe and see what's the threshold for how much money needs to be invested in order for the safe to convert. And sometimes there's no amount of money that needs to be invested. It's just described in more vague terms, like the next, you know, financing round or something like that. So you see a range of very vague wording where it's not really always clear if a conversion event has occurred. And you can also have very specific wording, which would be, you know, an equity financing round raising over $1 million within a 6-month span. So that would be more specific wording. Another type of trigger event would be a maturity date, such as a year or 2 years, which basically says, if there hasn't been another type of conversion event, like an equity financing, after a year or 2 years, the safe note will automatically convert into equity. That's another type of trigger event you want to look out for. It's better for the investor if something like that is included. And ideally, it would say the investor has the option whether to convert it to equity and just keep all the control with the investor and maybe even give them a chance to say, hey, I actually just want to get paid back at this point, which would be more of a debt-like feature. But many safe notes will have really no reference at all to, you know, some sort of time limit where you can get an automatic conversion to equity instead of waiting for a financing round or another event. So the third big category of events that would trigger a conversion of a safe into equity is an exit scenario, like an M&A. The company is selling itself or it's going public. At that point, obviously, the investor needs to convert into real equity so that they can get paid for their piece of the company selling itself. So that's a clear opportunity. And the safe must always say that upon an M&A situation and probably an IPO also, at that point, the safe note converts 100%. So those are the main triggers. Next is the section on what are the terms of the conversion? How big a piece of the company are you going to get for the amount of money that you invested? So this isn't so straightforward. Normally, when you invest money in a company, you say, okay, what's the valuation? If the valuation is $1 million and you've invested $100,000, you should get 10% of all the shares that are outstanding and owned by other investors. So if you have 10% of the company, say, you know, the valuation is $1 million and you've put in $100,000, so you're going to get 10% of the company. If there are, say, 10 million shares, you should be getting 1 million of those shares, 10% of the shares. So there's 1 million shares outstanding owned by all kinds of people, and you should have 1 million of those. And so that's how a normal equity investment works in terms of the number of shares that you get. With a safe note, it's a little bit tricky because it's unclear what kind of valuation you're going to get because the valuation depends on what's the valuation in the next fundraising round. So we don't know what that valuation is going to be, and it could be very high. So the first feature that a safe note must have in the conversion terms is a valuation cap. Okay, so let's say the valuation cap is 10 million. That means when the next equity financing round happens, it doesn't matter if those investors got a valuation of 20 million, you, the safe note holder, are going to get a valuation of your cap, which here, let's assume, is 10 million. So you're going to get twice as many shares for every dollar you put in than the next equity financing round if they get a valuation of 20 million and your safe note says the valuation cap is 10 million. So let's pause there for a second and think, like, how does the conversion event connect to the terms, the economic terms of the conversion? The conversion event is usually the next financing round and or an M&A or something. And in any of those situations, there's going to be a valuation. So The safe note is saying that might be the valuation that other investors are getting, but the valuation that you're getting is set in the safe note. So you know at a bare minimum, you're going to get a certain percent of the company because you know the minimum valuation you're going to get, or rather the maximum valuation you're going to get, and you know how much money you're putting in. So if you know the maximum valuation is 10 million and you're putting in a million, you're definitely going to own 10% of the company at least. So that's the first aspect of the economic terms of the conversion is what's the valuation cap that the safeholder is going to get. Then there's the discount rate, because the valuation that the company gets in the next financing round might actually be lower than the valuation cap. So in that case, the valuation cap doesn't help at all. So the safe note holders need to have another way to make sure that they are going to get a better deal than the investors in the next round. So the discount rate says, even if the investors in the next round get a valuation that's lower than the valuation cap, let's say they get 8 million and the valuation cap was 10 million, you, the safe note holder, still get a 20% discount on whatever valuation the next financing investors got. So if they got 8% and you have a 20% discount rate, you'll get a $6 million valuation, which will be a significant improvement over what other investors got. So there's a big benefit no matter what to you being that source of bridge financing and helping the company get to the next level that they can raise a larger financing round. You get the benefit of knowing that when that happens, you're going to get to buy into those shares. You've already paid, but you're going to get to receive those shares at a rate that's better in some way than other investors. So it should be an immediate return of really no less than 20% once the fundraising round happens. So if the next fundraising round takes a year, you should have 20% returns in a year. If it takes 2 years, you should have 10% returns. And then after that, it will depend on how the company does. Okay. So we've been through, you know, the potential for debt-like features, which we sometimes see. We've looked at the conversion triggers, which are very important, such as, you know, the definition of the next financing event, the definition of M&A, definition of IPO. Then we look at the key conversion terms, the key economic terms of the equity. And from there, we see that there's two key parts to that. There's the discount rate in case the next round or the next M&A has a lower valuation than your maximum, than your valuation cap. And then we also look at the valuation cap in case the company does really well and gets a valuation that's much higher than the valuation cap, your valuation will still be brought down. Okay. So we also have some bonus rights that we look for in the safe note. And sometimes we need to get these in what's called a side letter. We can't always like technically write it in the safe note because that might be disclosed to people. But there are some bonus rights, some investor rights we're going to look for as a safe note holder that normally we might expect to have as a real equity shareholder, but we don't have them as a safe note holder necessarily. So we want to ask for them if we feel like we need them. So the first one that I think is most important is the information rights, the right to just receive information about the company after you sign the safe note, which makes sense. You made an investment. You want to see how things are going. So the two types of information we want to receive, first is just the financials. That's probably the most important thing. We can get access to the financials. We're going to be in good shape to at least analyze how the company's doing and whether our investment is on the right track. Second, we might want to be a board observer. This will get us access to different reports and different, you know, advice from other consultants like accountants and other lawyers who might be advising the company. And it's just going to give us an even deeper insight into what's going on inside of the company. Another third category that it's important to have is what's called an MFN. That stands for Most Favored Nation. I don't know why it's called that in this context, but it basically means that if any other investor, any other safe investor or whatever, gets better terms than you did in your safe will just automatically change to be the same as theirs. So it's basically saying no one gets treated better than me in this investment context. And then the last type of right you might want to ask for, maybe only if you're a big, deep-pocketed investor, you want to ask for what's called preemptive rights. That basically means anti-dilution rights. So if there's other safe holders coming in or other, you know, real equity rounds coming up, not only do you want to make sure that in the next financing round, your safe converts to equity, you might also want the opportunity to purchase more shares at maybe not at the safe rate, not at the discount rate, but at the same rate that those equity investors come in. And you're having that right to purchase more shares when other people purchase shares guarantees anti-dilution. It makes sure that if you wanted to have 10% of the company for whatever reason, you're not going to be diluted by the company selling more shares to new people. You're going to stay at your 10% as long as you put up more money. So that's a preemptive right or an anti-dilution right. So that's some of the bonus features that we expect. And the last point I want to look out for in all safe notes, which this gets missed a lot, but it's really such a key feature, is how does the conversion calculation work with respect to calculating the exact number of shares that the safe note holder will receive when the conversion happens? So this seems like a straightforward calculation. You would just say, well, there are 10 million shares outstanding. The valuation that the safe note holder is getting, let's say it's the valuation cap, it's 10 million. The safe note holder put up a million. So they should get 10% of the company, which here would be a million shares because there's 10 million shares outstanding and 10% of 10 million is 1 million. Seems straightforward. The part that's tricky is, how do we know exactly how many shares are outstanding? Well, that's a pretty simple question. You can just ask the company, how many shares do people hold? And they'd say 10 million. But there are some instruments like convertible notes or other safe notes or option contracts, like the option to buy shares at a later time, or employee stock options where the employees or the executives will have an opportunity to acquire shares at a later time. Those are examples of instruments that are technically not outstanding shares. So if we had a plain vanilla definition of outstanding shares that we used when calculating how many shares the safe holder gets, that's a clear number. But if you add in all these instruments that could become shares, those are not being counted. And when they do become shares, they're going to dilute the safe holder. So there might be a million shares technically outstanding, but there might be another 2 million or another 5 million worth of options or worth of convertible notes or worth of safe notes that, when converted, will make the pool of outstanding shares 15 million. Therefore, essentially, there's usually more shares outstanding from a substantive perspective, even if technically there's less shares outstanding. So for that, we need to look at the fine print of how the safe note is defining total outstanding shares. And we want to make sure that whatever definition they use, it includes all the convertible notes, all the options, all the safe notes, all the things that are technically not equity yet, or technically not representing outstanding shares yet, but have the potential to become outstanding shares very soon, which would dilute the safe holder. So we'd need to know about that. So that is how you review a safe note at a very high level. Obviously, there's more details to it. There's tax considerations. There's, you know, all kinds of other smaller things to look for. But those are what I consider to be some of the biggest issues that I know I want to be looking out for every time that I review a safe note.